This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Quaker Steak and Lube in League City. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Friday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Zhong Li, the master, back in studio. Tyler out here keeping us on air at Quaker Steak and Lube in League City. If you want to get in today.
They run out of people, Tyler? What are you doing down here?
Yeah.
You're never on the road with us. Use your microphone.
Yeah, he doesn't even know how to use a microphone. So.
He doesn't know how to use it.
No, I got to fill in for Aaron. I think he's taking the day off. He's being – oh, wait. Voldemort. Voldemort, he's being lazy today.
Okay.
Good for him. He probably needs a day off. All right, if you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show to the main number. That's probably your best bet, text, Twitter, Facebook. Really only need to call in if you're going to try to win something. So
right. Don't call and try to talk to us today. It's not a good day for that.
Yeah, when we're on the road, it's just kind of difficult to take phone calls, so the only ones we're going to take are from our guests. Sorry.
Which include R.J. Bell today.
R.J. Bell.
As always on Fridays.
5:30.
And Matty Roach, who will come on at 5 to preview the last ever episode of Banshee.
I still can't believe it.
I can't believe it, Fred. It's sad.
I'm hopeful that, you know what, maybe, just maybe, they change their mind.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I get the feeling that.
I mean, you can't really. When you once you record your last season and you do your season finale, like that's.
Well, I'm guessing they're going to kill somebody. That
yeah,
they couldn't
it's
going
to be hard to come
for.
Back from.
Yeah. One can hope.
Well, you never know because, Fred, you know what I watched last night? The Blacklist. And if you remember, Elizabeth died, like. I don't know, 5-6 episodes ago.
Yeah, I celebrated that.
Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen this week's
Blacklist. I haven't seen it yet, but I don't care enough about it.
I know you don't. That's what I'm going to tell you anyway. Elizabeth came back.
Of course she did.
Yeah.
They faked her death, didn't they?
They faked her death. And now her and Tom and her baby are all kidnapped. So
good.
And the guy.
Stay kidnapped.
And it's by her father. Her father is Kai Proctor. So he's coming to the picture. And, yeah. So I was pissed. I don't like when characters die and then they find a way to bring them back.
Yeah,
I thought it was like a bold move by the Blacklist to kill her off. You know,
because she was dragging the show down anyway.
Well, they ruined it.
Well, I'm probably out on that. I'll watch the last one just because, but it was pretty obvious. I had a sneaking suspicion that was going to happen anyway. So, to be fair, that's network where they always do stupid stuff like that. It's always LCD stuff on the network, so I don't know.
I'm now eating for the first time since our wing challenge.
I have yet to eat since our wing challenge.
Yep.
It smells good, though.
A delicious burger.
Yeah, I think I may have to order something on the break here.
Yeah, but I ate because I felt like I needed to eat, not because I was hungry. I still feel like my body could sustain itself on those wings from yesterday for another month or so.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you.
But I felt it was a necessity to actually eat a little bit.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling that way, but I'm also in that no man's land where if I don't eat anything, I'm not really going to be in a rush to eat anything. Either.
Right.
I still don't feel 100% right from that
I'm
either.
Sorry.
Oh, well.
Sorry. Other news, more of a follow-up on something we've been discussing constantly for this week, is the Art Briles thing. Reports are now that Baylor may be more likely to fire Ken Starr than Art Briles. And what I don't understand is, how is it an and or? How is it like one or the other? Shouldn't it be both?
Yeah, I think if one of them, the other one should be gone too.
Yeah, because from what all the reports say, both guys knew. You can't really just say, oh, well, it was wrong that the president of the university knew about these rapes. The football coach did too, but the president should have he's the one who should have taken action. No, I'm a big believer that if both of them knew that there were rapes happening and both of them were efforting a cover-up of said rapes.
Everybody involved should be gone.
Everybody.
There's no question. The only reason that's not happening is because they're just scared to death of being irrelevant in football again.
Right.
That's a horrible place to be.
I got news for you. You're going to be irrelevant in football again, with or without Art Briles, because there's going to be sanctions that come down. If it's anything like it was with Penn State, there's going to be sanctions come down, and it's going to take a while. Penn State still hasn't recovered, and that was Penn State.
Yeah.
Baylor, I imagine, will take quite some time.
I guess it all depends on how much actually gets done here, how much comes out, which, so far, I mean, with this private school crap, we're never really going to know everything. And if they just decide that, we're going to keep our coach. Excuse me. We're going to just keep our coach and keep doing what we're doing and get rid of him and say sorry, pay out some money, and it's going to be business as usual. That's a real problem. Because anybody involved in that should be gone. Again, though, I mean, we still don't have all the facts, but we may never get them. That's what bothers me. 713-780-ESPN is your number. The other big news, I'm sure you notice, that Sir Floyd Mayweather has offered Conor McGregor $50 million for their boxing match.
Yeah, is that real?
That's what Mayweather says.
Okay, but Mayweather also sometimes says that he bet, $500,000 on a game, and I don't believe that every time he says it either.
No, I don't, because most of the time he's lying about that.
But, right.
$50 million sounds like a pretty good number based on what that would probably do.
Listen,
pay-per-view wise.
If you're offered, I would fight Floyd Mayweather for $50 million. I'd fight him for $1 million. If Conor McGregor is getting offered $50 million, it's a very short discussion agent.
Which Mayweather stands to make twice that.
Okay.
My question is, who's the bigger draw?
Mayweather.
You think?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. Internationally?
Pay-per-view numbers are what they are. I mean, McGregor's done big UFC pay-per-views, but that's nothing compared to big Floyd Mayweather pay-per-views.
I'd have to go look at the numbers because I don't follow them that closely, but it seems to me McGregor's a bigger star internationally. If you're talking about international pay-per-views.
I mean, maybe, but he's got one country behind him, and it's not a massive country. Like I said, numbers that McGregor has put up in his big pay-per-views, like 1.2 million buys, which is a great number for the UFC, the best numbers for the UFC. But if a Mayweather pay-per-view did 1.2 million, it'd be a disappointment.
I didn't realize that the UFC numbers were that low.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's interesting. Because I just assume they – well, I know they do a lot of them, but
right.
I just assume they did much better numbers than that. Interesting. Well, yeah, for $50 million, he ought to get in there because that's more than he's ever going to make in the UFC, probably his entire career, considering he got $1 million for a fight, and that was the most anyone's ever gotten.
Yeah, Dana White claims that McGregor Diaz did $1.5 million, which he called the biggest pay-per-view they've ever done.
Okay.
Mayweather's numbers – I would have to imagine I can look them up, but I would imagine that $1.5 million would be disappointing for a Mayweather fight.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know what kind of numbers they do. So 713-780-ESPN. Matthew says he's stuck on a bus from Austin with fourth graders instead of making it to the live show. Sports and stuff. That sounds more like stuff than sports.
Yeah,
unfortunately. And Frobia says it's going to be business as usual, horrible or not. That's going to be what happens. Probably so. And that's a problem because if people don't have enough outrage over that whole situation to the point where they're just going to, but we'll still be good at football, then, yeah, I can't imagine why anyone would ever want to go there for any reason unless you're just a football player that you can get away with anything. Then I'd go. The other thing that I found somewhat interesting today is that the Heat are making the latest story about, everybody's going to want Kevin Durant when this season's over. My favorite sort of narrative that's out there is, but they're making a great run, so he's more likely to stay.
Right.
No, he's not. He's going to go or stay based on, it's not going to be based on what they do this season. And more likely than not, he's probably gone. But Dan Le Batard reporting that the Heat are going to make this their number one priority. Hey, get in line.
I thought yesterday the Heat said Hassan Whiteside was their number
one
priority.
Well, now according to Le Batard, it's Kevin Durant.
That seems to okay.
Yeah. I mean, you can't, good luck. I mean,
you can only have one number one priority, I
everybody
thought.
Is going to be in on Kevin Durant, so it's hardly news. If you've got cap room, then you know what? You're going to go after Kevin Durant. If you don't, then you're kind of silly. You have to at least give him the opportunity to say, no thanks, I'm not coming here.
Right.
But, so apparently that's the Heat's new number one thing, according to Le Batard.
All right.
As far as I'm concerned, if I were handicapping it, I would put them pretty low on the list. But you never know what's going to make a guy want to go somewhere.
Yeah, I would think so, too. But, I've been surprised before where people are interested in going.
Jason says he's on his way, should be here in 20. What are y'all drinking? You're drinking one of those.
It's Running Walker IPA.
How is it?
It's decent.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He offered me one, but I'm not an IPA guy, so I'll have to find something else to do.
I've honestly never heard of it before. So,
well, that's a good start.
Well.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
With a thousand eyes and a good taste guys, hit them right between the eyes, hit them right between the eyes.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Hold on to your butts.
On ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Quaker Steak and Lube in League City. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Quaker Steak and Lube in League City, where we'll be doing that wing challenge in a little bit.
Not us. Oh, okay.
Someone will be. Listeners
yeah,
will
good
be.
Good call.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I may never eat another wing again as long as I live. But a couple of things from Facebook. Justin says he'd be here, but they just became foster parents. And they're bringing in a sibling of three tonight. So good for you, man. Sorry, we'll miss you. And then on Kenneth said, put a meme on here. It's got Jon Snow, says got his life back. Arya got her eyes back. And it shows a picture of Theon and says, you hang in there, Theon.
Oh, poor Theon.
Well, I'm going to give you a story that might help Theon, believe it or not.
Okay.
Well, it's not going to help him. Did you see that America had its first penis transplant surgery?
I did see that.
Yeah. And, of course, he's looking forward to being a complete man.
Right.
And they say within a few months that may actually have sexual function.
Yeah.
So, good for him. He had cancer and 64 years old, so I don't know how much you're actually using it for that purpose at 64.
But, it's 64, even if you're not having, and I think he's a single guy is what I was reading. You still want to, have some self-relief.
Yeah.
But you can't, I would imagine you got to be gentle. You can't go pulling on it too hard for
a
while.
This is he's probably going to be very careful with this.
You tear the stitches out of that, that's bad news.
15-hour operation.
It's worth it. Worth every minute.
Well, I mean, he probably didn't know about it. He was probably out for 15 hours.
I think it's amazing that you were willing to donate to him, Fred.
It was a dead person, so don't stop. The two words that I hope you never hear. He was diagnosed
penis
with
cancer?
Penile cancer in 2012.
Yeah, I'm against penis cancer for sure.
Yeah, well, I'm against all kinds of cancers, but penile cancer in particular, yeah, that one, definite. But he had to have it amputated in 2012. I admire him for doing that. I probably would just say, you know what, I'm keeping the cancer.
You just take your chances?
Yeah, if it kills me, it kills me.
But now you know you can get a transplant. But then again, how long did he have to go without a penis?
Well, it looks like 3 years.
Oh.
Yeah, because it was 2012 was when he had the operation. No, 4 years.
Oh. Okay.
So.
If I gave you $10 million, would you go 4 years without your penis?
No.
$10 million?
No.
I think I would. I think I would. Knowing I could get it back and it would work fine afterwards.
What if I don't live for 4 years? Then I've got.
I mean, that's something you've got to factor in for sure.
Well, yeah, especially if you've got a disease like that.
You could easily die in the 4 years.
I'm not talking about disease. I'm talking about...
Well, but that's what he... So you're just going to chop it off?
I'm giving you, as Fred Fowler, $10 million to live without a penis...
Not happening.
...for 4 years.
Nope.
Is there a dollar amount?
No.
Man. Tyler, you out on 10 mil also?
Yeah, I think so.
Jong, 10 million? 4 years, no penis?
No, I can't do it.
I guess I'm the only one.
I'm not that motivated by money anyway. I mean, if I'm going to get $10 million, it has to be for something that I'm not putting any effort into.
Well, yeah, nobody just comes up and hands you $10 million. Well, otherwise, it would have happened already.
Well, in that case, then I just don't care about it. I don't care enough about it.
All right.
Certainly not chopping off part of myself for $10 million. Now, if you want to chop off a finger, I'd think about that, like a pinky.
I'd give you $20,000 for that.
No, that's not going to happen. It's got to be $10 million.
Oh, please. What kind of pinky do you think you have?
Hey, I'm just telling you, if I'm going to
you better hope you're never kidnapped by some sadist who just, like, cuts people up for fun.
Well, yeah.
Because he won't give you anything.
Well, he's not getting any money for my stuff, so.
You know, it'll be like the guy on Banshee. He'll just cut you up for fun.
Well, hopefully I won't get kidnapped then.
Or he'll be like Ramsey Bolton. Send your penis in a box to your mom.
Yeah, he's not getting anything back for that. They're not going to send an army to get me or anything.
No, they're not.
They're just going to say, oh, well, we'll miss him. Are those people out there?
Of course there are.
I was under the impression Ramsey Bolton wasn't real.
But no, but there's people like him for sure.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There's serial killers all over the place that cut people up.
Well, I don't really want to be cut up. Or I don't really want to run into a serial killer either.
Well, might happen. You never know. Then you'll get $0 for your penis. Imagine that, like if a killer who like cut off cereal.
But nobody's going to give me $10 million anyway.
A guy who, like, a serial killer who his big thing was like he liked to cut off dudes' penises, got you, and you had already cut yours off for the 10 mil, how disappointed he would be, and he'd probably let you go.
No, he'd probably just kill me, and then the 10 million would be useless too.
That's true. But your kids could live off that 10 million. And you're going to die anyway.
You know what?
And you're going to lose your penis.
They're smart kids. They can go and make their own money. I'm not too worried about that.
You're so selfish.
Yeah, I am. 713-780-ESPN if you want to text the show. Can I complain about something briefly?
Okay.
Because I'm just curious if other people feel this way.
Is it about me?
No.
Then yes, complain away.
Okay. You know, this airplane crash happened going from Egypt to France or France to Egypt. I'm not sure which. But I've been getting these alerts on my phone.
Okay.
And one of the alerts today said, you know, talking about stuff they found in the water. Like, and it said seat, suitcase, and body parts found in water.
Oh, no.
Why on earth do I need to know that there were body parts found? I mean, we know it's a plane crash. We know people are dead. Why does it have to be on my phone? Why do I have to get that alert that says body part found? Can they not just say debris found? If I really care enough to find out exactly what it was they found, which I don't, I could go read the story.
Because I think a body part found insinuates that someone may have died, which is different than debris. Like if they said debris found in the Gulf, you'd say, oh, well, somebody threw some trash off a boat. That's not a story.
But we already know people died. There were 60 people on that plane. Plane crashed from 40,000 feet into the water. If you find a living body, that's a news alert.
Yeah.
Live person found, that's a news alert.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Because it's not like all the people could have jumped off the plane before it crashed.
Right. It's one of those things, and it kind of bothers me about media today. We used to have all these discussions about what pictures we could run and what actual things you put in stories. And now they don't hold anything back. It's almost heartbreaking reading stories about these things when they go through and they talk about finding a baby's leg and
they
stuff like
that.
They
need shock value, Fred.
Well, I don't want that.
That's what people click on.
Well, okay, so that's what I'm going to do on my next blog post. I'm going to basically put on there they found a baby's leg.
Yeah.
At this crash.
Yeah, but that, I mean.
Even though my blog post will be about the Preakness Stakes or something.
That's okay.
So I'm going for hits, right? We're going for web hits.
Yeah.
All right. So
I would make sure that you talk about...
Do I need to say dead baby leg, or should I just say baby leg?
I think you should say baby arm.
Okay, baby arm. How about
Because then you can relate it to a horse carrying around a baby arm.
That's true. True. How about a toddler's head?
I don't know how that'd work into your story.
I could go Godfather with it.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, toddler's head found in bed, things like that.
Whatever you think will get people to click. That's what you do.
All right. Well, apparently that's what it is. I don't want to read about all that. I don't. And it's one thing. I can avoid the stories, which I do now. But when the alerts are coming on my phone saying that.
There's no way to get around it.
No, no. And maybe I need to turn off my AP news alerts. Although there is some good stuff on there sometimes that I get, and sometimes it's sports. And sometimes
I don't like news alerts. I'll be honest. This makes me probably a bad person. I don't like to get those alerts when old people or kids are missing. Like
Amber alerts. I don't get the old person ones. I get those Amber alerts, though. And it's always funny being at a bar when you get one because everybody's phone in the entire bar starts buzzing.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, Amber alert. So... 409 says, hell, I've been married long enough. 4 years ain't anything. Give me the money.
Well.
Somebody asked, $2 million to quit radio still stand? Yeah. Yeah, I'll quit radio for $2 million.
But he'd still have full use of his penis.
Right, right.
But really, how much longer do you think your penis is going to work? I mean, you're getting up there.
Well.
And you haven't lived the healthiest of lifestyles either.
I've been doing better lately.
Yeah, lately. But, I mean, you've got a lot of years of irreparable damage that have been done.
Oh, not really.
Oh, please.
Eh. But I don't know. But as long as it's useful, I'm going to keep using it.
Okay.
713-780-ESPN. People are intrigued by this whole possibility. I hope you've not created a sicko serial killer with this. Some guy's listening. Hey, you know what? That kind of sounds cool.
Right.
I think I'm going to capture people and chop off penises. And first I'm going to tell them I'm going to give them $10 million for it, but then I'm just going to chop it off and they're not going to get anything. And I'm going to feed it to my dogs, Ramsey Bolton style.
Yeah.
Hmm. I sure hope people aren't listening to you. Oh, boy. 713-780-ESPN.
When we come back, Kirk Bowles from the Austin American Statesman did sort of a Big 12 expansion primer.
Yeah.
Everything you need to know about a possible Big 12 expansion and covers a lot of the questions that people have about it. So I thought you might be interested in hearing some of that.
Yeah, although I still don't think it's going to happen.
I don't either. But
yeah, we'll go over that.
When we come okay.
Back. Right now I got to tell you about Houston Cann Academies. Great, great place where when kids drop out of school, they go to Houston Cann Academies, they get a second chance, and these guys work with these students. A lot of them dropped out for a lot of reasons. Some of them had to get jobs to support their families. And Houston Cann Academy works around their schedule and helps them keep that job and graduate and go on and do great things. And there's all kinds of success stories there. They change lives. And some of these kids would have never had any opportunities, would have never amounted to anything if they hadn't had a chance to go to Houston Cann Academy. And you can help. Because they need your help because they do all kinds of things for these kids. They get them glasses if they need them. Transportation if they need that, and all of it goes to help make this a better world and graduate more kids than ever. All you have to do is donate that vehicle you're not using anymore. If you've got something that's sitting in your garage, you were going to fix it up, didn't work out, maybe you had one sitting out in your front yard and it flooded and now you don't know what to do with it, well, just donate it. They're going to come and tow it free of charge. Your donation is tax deductible, and they take care of all the paperwork. It's quick, it's easy, they handle everything. And if you donate today, tell them you heard about it on the Blitz, you are going to get Astros tickets. All you have to do, give them a call, 713-225-4226. That's 713-225-4226. Or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5.
Don't bless me, Father.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Quaker Steak and Lube in League City. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Quaker Steak and Lube in League City. out here on that back patio. So if you are looking for a place to come hang out, you're down in the area, highly recommend it. Really good food.
We've talked about this quite a bit over the last couple months, I feel like. The Big 12 expansion, the possible Big 12 expansion. And Kirk Bowles and Brian Davis and Kevin Little of the Austin American-Statesman put together this Big 12 primer. I guess they all worked on it, which basically presents 12 questions about what's going on with the Big 12 trying to expand. I'll read a question, and you can tell me if you want me to read their answer to it, okay?
Okay.
Now you'll decide what's too boring and what's not. First question, to pass anything, does the Big 12 just need a simple majority of 6 votes?
That I would like the answer to, actually.
All right. Yeah, the answer is yes and no.
Of course it is.
There are some topics, such as the important ones on conference expansion and a championship game, that will require a supermajority of 8 votes of the board of directors. Other less important issues, though, would only need a simple majority to be approved.
Okay. So this is going to need 8, is
yes.
What you're telling me.
What are grant of rights?
I have no interest in that.
How long does the contract run?
Yeah, I have no interest in that.
Okay. Why can't the Big 12 just raid another Power 5 conference for 2 schools?
Well, I'm guessing the simple answer is there are no schools that would leave their conferences for the Big 12.
Well, the answer to that has a lot to do with the grant of rights things, which we already found boring. So
yeah.
We'll just leave that out.
Okay. But the real answer to that is no one's leaving the SEC, the Pac-12, or the ACC, or the Big Ten for the Big 12.
The problem is, let's say, for instance, if Florida State left the ACC to join the Big 12, the FSU TV rights and the money involved with that would belong to the ACC until their contract ended. So then there's no real point in bringing them in. You know what I mean? Okay.
Plus, nope. None of them want to go.
Question 4. How much money would each school get from a football championship game?
That's a good question.
By most projections, each Big 12 school would receive up to $3 million apiece from a title game.
Okay.
That would be over and beyond the annual payout each school receives. Last year, every Big 12 school was allotted $25.6 million. So it would take them from $25.6 to $28.6 would be the allotment there.
Okay.
What could entice Texas to give up the Longhorn Network?
Nothing.
That's essentially the answer. Because while those other schools make $25 million a year, and they would see to add an extra $3
million, yeah.
Texas gets that same $25.6 and gets $15 million on top of it.
Yeah, that's not happening.
They're not willing to let that go.
No, nor should they be. We've talked about that a lot.
Does every Power 5 conference have its own network?
I don't think the ACC does.
The ACC does not.
And the Pac-12s is kind of a mess. So
yeah. Is this all about money?
Yes.
Correct. Number 8, do Texas and Oklahoma have all the clout?
Yeah.
Also correct.
So basically he's written something that we already know.
Yeah, we've talked about this quite a bit, that Texas and Oklahoma, if the Big 12 were to completely dissolve, those would be the 2 schools that would have no problem finding a home elsewhere.
Right.
Number 9, if the Big 12 were to dissolve, what's the best landing spot for Texas?
Pac-16.
It says, depends on who you ask. Fans who would be interested in sexy games and glamour matchups would pull for Texas to bolt for the SEC. But
You know what? That's one of the few conferences that might just say, you know what, we don't need you.
They could. But Texas administrators seem to lean more towards the Big Ten because of its prestige, its academic cachet, and its friendly time zone that for most parts is in the middle of the country. One school official told the Statesman that Texas is most academically compatible with the Big Ten and the Pac-12. So those are the conferences that they would be most interested in being in. Because, believe it or not, academic profile does matter a lot to a school like Texas. Number 10. What's the biggest factor in considering schools for expansion?
I'd be curious.
I thought you would be curious on that one. It says probably the overall brand of potential invitees. That could mean the size of their athletic budgets and their overall commitment to excellence, as well as the enthusiasm of the fan base in terms of attendance and likelihood to travel for road games and bowl trips. Success in football and basketball could go a long way in enhancing a school's appeal, and academic standing is also important. The lack of academic status was one of the obstacles for Texas or anyone in the Big 12 to consider joining the SEC, though much of that has gone away since A&M and Missouri moved to upgrade the SEC's standing in the academic community. So they want someone who's not going to lower their average academics. You know what I mean?
Right.
Number 11, why is a 13th data point so critical? Which means, why is a championship game so critical?
Why don't we just call it a championship game and not a 13th data
Because that's what the college football playoff system calls it.
Well, that's kind of stupid.
Yeah. But basically, it's because the playoff committee says it is. You know, they basically said that the conference championship has hurt, not having one has hurt the Big 12 and may have led to the snubs of 12-win TCU and 11-win Baylor in 2014. However, the Pac-12 has had the same results. The first year of the playoff, Oregon got in as the number two team and reached the title game. The second year, it was left out as Stanford finished sixth in the final CFP standings. And number 12, what's the percentage of the Big 12 dissolving?
I'm going to go, I still think it's unlikely, but I think it's a possibility. I'm going to say 20%.
It's close to what they give. Barry Trammell, who's a columnist at the Daily Oklahoman, put the odds of a Big 12 breakup at 25%, which,
wow,
to schools like Texas and Oklahoma, isn't that scary because they've got a backup plan. But 25%, if you've got no other options, is pretty scary. So if you're TCU or you're Texas Tech or you're Baylor, because trust me, if the Big 12 broke up, Baylor's now in more world of trouble than they would have been already.
Well, let's be honest. Some of those teams aren't – the AAC aren't going to want some of those teams.
Right. But the criticism of the league's viability to Oklahoma president David Boren sent some shots across the bow of the other Big 12 programs, basically saying that, you know, the Big 12, they think the Big 12 is doing fine, but it's 25% is a scary number if you're one of these.
Well, especially
outsiders.
Let's just throw a school. If you're Iowa State, you're lucky if Conference USA wants you.
I mean, that's probably best case scenario. Is getting into a conference like the AAC or Conference USA or Mountain West. I mean, that's your options.
Yeah, I think the AAC would pick and choose and take the best ones.
I'm sure.
And then of those other eight schools, they're not taking more than two probably. So now the rest of them are Conference USA, Mountain West. Boy, how would TCU feel if they had to go back to Mountain West?
Oh.
That would suck for them. But I think that's the more likely scenario than them actually expanding. Somebody tweeted this story about Tillman Fertitta talking about that UH should already be in the Big 12.
I'm sure Tillman Fertitta thinks that.
Yeah, although he makes a compelling case. And much more of a case than I'm more on board with the possibility than I was before, because I was all but just stay where you are and be successful. The dollars, though, man.
Oh yeah,
make a lot of sense.
Big money involved,
but he did say the same thing that I've said, that the Big 12 lost this market, and it's lost it to the SEC, and that's how you get it back. You get your presence back down here. You get your teams back down here every 2 years. You get NRG back in the rotation for your championship games, and you get a bunch of corporate dollars that UH has been raising over the last few years. So,
well, Houston still has the second biggest Texas alumni base in the country.
You know what else you have the biggest alumni bases of? Second biggest in the country? A&M.
Yeah.
You've got
sure
LSU. LSU's
close to there,
I mean, it's more than just that. It's actually having a presence here, which they don't have anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, to me, that makes a ton of sense to get back in this market and dominate this market. And I think it makes. And plus, there's.
But do you really think UH would make the Big 12 dominate this market?
Go look at the TV numbers.
Because the reality
is. Look at the TV numbers from last year's games where UH's bowl game out had better ratings than everything but the championship game.
Right, in the best season of their history.
Yeah. What does that tell you? People will watch.
If they're good.
Or if they're playing anybody worth a damn, too.
Because the reality is, I mean, even if.
Yes, to answer your question, yes, this brings a lot more to this market than you think.
But Texas and Texas A&M football are still bigger in this city than Houston football is.
They are, but I'm telling you, if it keeps
they
going.
They always will be, though,
that I'm not going to agree with, because if Texas keeps going like it's going and goes 6-6 every year, there were years, and this goes way back, when UH was good and Texas wasn't, where UH was a hell of a lot bigger here. And I think it can happen again, and that's probably why they don't want them in the same conference. But it's not going to be a long-term thing. When Texas is good, they're always going to be good. But I'll tell you what, I'll go on record right now. If they did take that program in, the only ones that would clearly be better programs long-term in that conference right now, football-wise, Oklahoma and Texas. There's no reason that they couldn't be as good as Oklahoma State or better than Tech or any of those in a 2 or 3 year span. And because they got the money here to do it now.
Yeah.
And they got people willing to throw
money.
They've
got good facilities. I mean, yeah. they do.
And, you know, it's an easy place to recruit to for kids who want to stay in town. And you see it. I mean, the recruiting classes Tom Herman's getting when they're not even in a real conference. I mean, the right coach, which they have for now. I don't think he's staying.
Yeah.
But anyway. According to what John just sent me, UT is third in Houston in terms of alumni numbers.
Did Dallas pass them up or what?
No, they're third in the city of Houston
In
terms of alums. So you don't have the most alums here.
No, I said that Texas has Texas's second biggest alumni base is in Houston.
Yeah, but that's not the biggest alumni base in Houston.
I never said that. Point.
Okay, well, just pointing that out.
Okay.
I mean, second biggest, okay. I bet you'll have the biggest within a few years because more people are moving here than even in Dallas. Did you see that San Antonio's actually bigger than Dallas in terms of actual population?
Just city, like
city population.
The city
limits? Yeah.
San Antonio's growing fast, too. Well, San Antonio, Austin, Houston.
There was a story about Chicago panicking because Houston's going to pass it within the next decade, and it showed the list, and it just what's in the actual city. And San Antonio grew by 28,000 over per year.
Why would someone panic over it? Like, why would Chicago care?
Because they're like, to them, it's a big deal to be the third largest city in America.
Yeah, don't because they used to be called the second city, and
now they're third. Now they're going to be fourth. Going to happen.
The fourth city doesn't have the same ring.
Anyway, I'll throw those numbers out because there's some surprising ones in there. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Quaker Steak and Lube in League City. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Bauer and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We're out here at Quaker Steak and Lube in League City. So if you're out and about in the area, come and check us out.
Your mom coming by today?
I'm sure she is. I've not talked to her yet, but I'm sure she is. Couple things here. First off, I have to tell you that you need to join us at Quaker Steak and Lube on 45 and FM 646 in League City until 7. Come out for the Triple Atomic Wing Challenge at 6:30. Friday special features local brewery Running Walker IPA for just $4, plus lots of other happy hour specials. Visit ESPN975.com for more info. Or you really don't have to visit ESPN975.com for more info. You can just come on out at this point, right?
Yeah.
Theoretically. And, you know, one last thing on the whole UH thing. To this day, I still would prefer that if the Pac-12 expanded, they wind up there and not in the Big 12 for a lot of reasons. And it would make sense for the Pac-12 to try to get their network into Texas. But there doesn't appear to be any movement there. And, you know, if there were, that would be my preference because I think that's a much more stable conference. And I think it would be, it's a much better conference. And even if you're only getting USC or UCLA in here once every 3 or 4 years, that's still pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the Oregons, and I mean, it seems like that would be an interesting fit with the Arizona schools and everything else. But, you know, again, I'm okay with them where they are because I think they can be successful. But if you want to keep a coach like this, you need to be in a better conference at some point. Matt asks, why would the Big 12 want to add another school that only seats 40,000 and is underperformed in hoops? Well, first off, basketball has nothing to do with this. We want to talk about underperforming basketball programs. There's a lot of them at the bottom of the Big 12. And, you know, the stadium is, when they built it, easily expandable to over 50,000. is they built it so that if they did get in a bigger conference, they could add the seats. So, anyway, I don't think it's going to happen with the Big 12, and I've that was never my preference.
I think the reality is that, I mean, unless you have unless you're one of the people who stands to gain financially from them joining a bigger conference, if you're just a regular old UH football fan, I still stand by. I think you're better off where you're at.
I think they're much better off where they are because they can pretty much accomplish.
You can win that conference consistently.
Win that conference consistently.
You can be like what Boise was.
And I think even bigger than that because I think, you know, it's a hell of a lot easier to recruit to Houston, Texas than it is to Boise.
That's true.
And
you know, and you've already done what Boise did and recruited a great coach.
Yeah.
Which is the first step in building a program like this up.
And the next coach has to be just as good, though. I mean, that's the thing. You have to have that whole pipeline of coaches like they had there.
I asked this question on Twitter. I'm curious what you think. The name that's popped up now as the anti-D'Antoni name out of the Rockets is Steven Silas, who is the top assistant for the Hornets. And he's also the top candidate for another job. It's technically a lateral move, but he has been offered the job as the top assistant for the Golden State Warriors.
So replacing Luke Walton.
Right. So I want to know your thoughts, Fred. If you were Steven Silas, knowing what the Rockets job looks like right now, knowing what the Golden State job looks like right now, which job would you prefer to take?
Well, I think if he goes to Golden State and does that for a year or two, he's going to be able to pick whatever job he wants, and I don't think this job is very attractive right now. For a lot of reasons, I don't see a plan here. We talked about this yesterday. If you love James Harden and you think you can build around him, okay. I think 99% of the time it's always better to be the number one dog than being an assistant. But if your goal is to get the best possible job available, not just the current jobs that are available, like if you want to hold out for, hey, Steve Kerr leaves in 2 years, and you're right there, or you want the Cavaliers in 2 years, or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it basically,
if you're aiming for the very top, then I think you go do the Golden State thing.
There's almost zero chance Steven Silas's stock could go down from 2 years in Golden State, correct?
I won't say that because, you know, what if Curry blows a knee for a year and they're not that good? And you know, the first excuse is, well, okay, Curry blew a knee, so they're not as good. But then you start losing some guys. They come back the next year. They're not as good then. Suddenly the bloom is off of that thing, and you're not the sexy name you were. That could easily happen. I don't think it's
that
likely.
Seems unlikely, yeah.
I don't think it's likely, but it's certainly possible.
Okay.
So you do have to weigh that, the possibilities that this run may not continue. But
you do have Steph, Clay, and Draymond locked up for the foreseeable future.
You do.
And as long as you've got those guys?
As long as you've got those guys healthy, which they've been remarkably lucky over.
Okay, let's say you take the Rockets job and James Harden blows his knee out game one.
I'm not saying take the Rockets job.
But I'm saying if you do, what are you left with then?
Well, you're probably keeping your job. They're not going to fire you because James Harden got hurt.
Oh, please. They fired Kevin McHale for less than that.
But we're not talking about we're talking about two different things because if you're going as an assistant, then your job there is the reason you're going there is to raise your profile to get a better
without
job.
A doubt.
And so the flip side of that is the team's not going to get better. They're not going to win more than 73 games next year.
No, they're not.
So it may not help your reputation as much as you think either. I don't know. I mean, it depends on how bad you want to be a head coach. And I think I go back to the fact that they fired McHale. I'm not going to I'm not real interested in this job if I'm a coach right now, especially if I have other options.
I think the possibility of coaching in Golden State for a couple of years, more than likely winning a ring at some point there. And
well,
like you said,
likely, yeah.
like you said, being able to pick your job down the road, I mean, that's very appealing.
Well, I mean, and the appealing part would be Steve Kerr says, I've had enough a year or two from now.
Right. And, I mean, Luke Walton he had his choice of jobs. Every job that came open this offseason, Luke Walton could have had.
But you know what the difference is? Luke Walton had that run where he was actually running the team, and that's why
True.
He had his choice. He wasn't that big of a name before this season. So you're kind of hoping Steve Kerr has surgery again?
That could happen.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think it's – to me, it's almost always better to get a head coaching job unless you think that job is going to be a dead end, and I think there's a good chance this one is.
Okay.
Tell them about Window World.
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about my good friends over at Window World. Listen, if your home has aluminum or wooden windows with regular glass, check out the energy-efficient replacement windows from Window World. They're double-hung, double-pane windows from Window World. They offer American-made premium quality with a transferable lifetime warranty that includes glass breakage. Installation usually just takes a day for the average home. Financing is available. Call Window World today for a free estimate and start reaping the benefits. I mean, these double-hung windows mean they have top and bottom tilt for easy cleaning. They're energy efficient, which is going to save you a ton of money in the long term. Vinyl trim means you're never going to have to repaint them. There's plenty of reasons to check out Window World, including that warranty that's transferable, which ups the value of your home right there. Call Window World today. Get that free estimate, 713-439-1172, or go to windowworldhouston.com. That's Window World, simply the best for less. windowworldhouston.com.
ESPN 97.5.